Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Hello, everyone. This is your Mediocrity Podcast. It is a glorious day outside. I think it's so glorious I just had an accent for a second.
I think that, and you blew out the speakers of everyone listening to the podcast.
I'm sorry.
Because I don't know if you guys know, but when Brian's talking into his mic, he's basically eating it. The microphone is in his mouth.
I'm so sorry. It's part of our Mediocrity brand where we're just
probably okay. A good thing we're not doing video this week.
That's true. It's fun. But yeah, we're Mediocrity, part of the Multimedia Men podcast. You can find us on iTunes. Subscribe to iTunes for Multimedia Men. You'll find us all there, and all of our episodes. They're a lot of fun. I'm Brian Kluger, and I'm with, as always, Jonathan Atterbury over on the West Side. What's up?
What's up, man?
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. What's the latest? Give me some news.
I'm working on the book. I'm cracking away at that. I am deep into chapter 3 now.
Balls deep.
And it's coming along.
That's what she said. He's getting nastiness here on the Mediocrity Podcast. I like it. And also, always a returning champion, Jeremy Maggard. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Doing all right. I like the artwork in the background. Is this some of your art?
No, that is artwork that I have collected at various conventions, some original pages and sketches.
Very cool. What's the latest with you?
Oh, you know, nothing, just working on Primal Instinct and then doing some submissions for a new book that I'm working on.
That's very cool. Very, very cool. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. We have a lot to get through today on this Mediocrity Podcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes, please, again. I just want us, everybody, to subscribe and love us. We have a lot to get to today. A lot of news, a lot of fun stuff. And I guess Jeremy and John today have a secret segment that I have no idea about. I don't know what it is, but we're gonna get to that much, much later. And I have thoughts in my head on what it could be. I'm excited and scared all at the same time.
As you should be.
Well, right before it's time, if you want, you can try to guess what's about to happen.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
I mean, something's gonna go in my mouth. I don't know what's happening.
Well, we're not all in the same room, so if something goes in your mouth, that's kind of from your own volition there, big guy.
Yeah, it's not the mic this time.
So yeah.
Dick's not that big.
And I don't think you're that flexible.
I try to be. I just don't want to break my neck again.
I mean, the Maggart weighing is impressive, but it's not 4 blocks long.
Yeah. It can't quite reach to your house, just to the sidewalk.
Okay, all right. We'll put it to the test then. Let's talk about some news first. Let's talk about the Logan black and white version coming out. So I guess this is a thing nowadays where filmmakers are going back and releasing their movie in black and white because it's happened before. What are your thoughts? Actually, first, Atterbury, you posted a thing on Facebook earlier that I really got scared of. You posted something. What did you post?
Yeah, it was a status update. It was a timeline thing saying that, oh, yeah, on this day, you know, in 2009, I posted and I said something along the lines of, wow, the Wolverine movie really sucked balls, something like that. And I had to tag you guys in that because I just wanted to, you know, to relive that moment of depression with you. Yeah, we did. We all saw it together.
So, yeah, when I saw that, I thought it was, like, from today you posted it. And I'm like, really? He hated Logan? And then, you know, I came to my senses and read the dates.
No, I loved me Logan. But
not just remembering how much John liked it when we talked about it.
Yeah.
So Logan in Black and White, James Mangold went on his Twitter and said that May 16th, or it was May 16th? I think it's May 16th. I'm going to make sure right now. May 16th, in theaters for one night only. They're going to re-release Logan all in Black and White. What are y'all's thoughts on that?
Sign me up. I'm good. Sounds fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're in?
I'm lukewarm on it. I mean, I'll go see it, but I'm not like, oh my God, it's going to be so incredible. Okay. I think it'll be probably the same movie, which I liked a lot.
Well, I have a little experience with this. I mean, I know Frank Darabont, who directed, you know, movies like The Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile and The Walking Dead first season and the first episode and The Mist. He's always wanted to do black and white stuff. And with The Mist, we actually did get a version of his black and white horror film, The Mist, as well as the first episode of The Walking Dead back long ago in black and white. Recently, the movie Mad Max Fury Road, they released on Blu-ray in a silver and chrome edition, which was basically a black and white edition of the movie. I watched it. I reviewed it. I think I've reviewed every single version of that movie that's come out, Fury Road. And there's pros and cons to it. There's parts of it that are awesome. Parts of it are not awesome. Just talking about the black and white version. I think with a black and white version, you get some more detail. You pay attention to some other things you might not have noticed in the color version. Whereas the color version of Mad Max was simply phenomenal and breathtaking and beautiful.
I didn't even bother seeing the black and white version of Mad Max. Like I said, with the Logan thing, it doesn't really thrill me that much. But I will see Logan again, because I only saw it one time in the theater anyways, and I'm willing to shell out some more bucks for that.
Jeremy, what about you? Does black and white make a difference in your viewing?
Normally, no. I do think the idea of seeing Logan in black and white is kind of cool, just because you have the kind of old school black and white Western vibe to it.
Yeah.
So I think that would make it pretty. I never saw the Fury Road black and white. I meant to, but I never did. But I wouldn't mind seeing Logan in black and white. I think it's cool.
Yeah. No. I mean, like I said, I like the black and white version. I think I'd watch both the same. I think the color version of Fury Road really is beautiful. But I think the black and white version also shows you some detail that you would never ever see before. So I'm curious if we all go see this. I mean, I'm sure there will be an edition of a Blu-ray on home video at some point with a black and white version on it. But I'm curious to see what detail I missed the first time around. With the black and white version, since you're not like entranced in color, you're kind of like focusing on other things. So I'm curious. I'm really curious about it, but that's happening. I wonder, I don't think it's a cash grab just because it's only for one night, but probably something they want to do. And I think it's cool. So I think we can all agree that we'll probably go see that in black and white.
Totally.
Let's move on to a topic I think Jeremy brought up. The lack of marketing, the lack of telling us, which they've told us, but not like their other movies. Warner Brothers and DC are releasing, of course, the Wonder Woman movie here in like literally like a month. And there's maybe been one or one and a half, two trailers out for it and nothing else. Whereas like earlier you have Suicide Squad and like Batman vs Superman, and we had 100 trailers, we had 100 posters, everything for those. But for Wonder Woman, you have like one or two posters and one or two trailers, and it's like literally 3 or 4 weeks from coming out.
There are already more trailers for Justice League, which comes out in the winter. I think, is it December that it comes out? Something like that?
Yes.
There are more trailers already for Justice League than there are for Wonder Woman.
So what do you think this lack of, do you think this is, I mean, I have my own theory on why it is this way, but what is your theory on why Warner Brothers is doing this?
I don't know. To me, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, because it's, you know, some people are like, oh man, well, what if the movie's not good? And it's like, well, they had no problem promoting the crap out of you know,
Suicide Squad.
BVS and Suicide Squad, and neither of those movies were really that great. And so, I mean, to me, it just, I don't really understand why they're not marketing it. Where there's not even, like, with Batman versus Superman, and there were tons of product tie-ins, like kids' cereals and, I mean, everything, and there's just not really that much kind of going on for Wonder Woman. And as I was kind of doing some Instagram stuff today, it was the first day that I really noticed that in my Instagram feed there was actually a sponsored ad for Wonder Woman.
All right. So I get what you're saying. I totally agree that, you know, they might not be spending as much money as they did on their previous, I wouldn't say box office failures, but critical failures of these past few films like Suicide Squad and Batman vs. Superman, because that nobody liked them, but they made money. My theory, well, which I don't know, what I think so far is that you have Wonder Woman coming out in like a month, maybe a little bit more than a month. We were, you know, four or five weeks away from it. And usually with this type of tentpole movie that, you know, it's one of brothers' biggest movies, you seem to think that there'd be like 5 trailers out by now or more. However, this weekend, a big movie comes out, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. And I just wonder if Warner Brothers or DC is saving their money until after this movie is released this weekend to do a very heavy promotional tour of Wonder Woman after Guardians of the Galaxy, so Wonder Woman doesn't get buried under any of the Guardians of the Galaxy stuff. What do you think?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point entirely. I think I can see why how that would make sense. Or maybe they actually have faith that this is going to be a good movie, and they're like, I guess we don't need to cram it down people's throats quite as hard as we've had to do the other shit stuff we put out, because people will just like it and talk about it.
I mean, I hope you're both right.
I mean, both.
I've never said that before, ever.
Write it down and take a picture. It'll happen more often. But John, when you say that, I want that to be true, and I think word of mouth does a really, really well for smaller indie films, but not for big movies, I think. And DC Warner Brothers' record is terrible right now. And
oh, no doubt. I will be shocked if this movie is good.
But
I will be completely blown away.
But it definitely could be a thing of they sent out 100 trailers for the last two movies and they've all sucked, because both Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad gave us trailers to a movie that we actually didn't see. Like, the trailers were like, this looks fucking good. And then we saw it, you're like, this was the opposite of fucking good.
Well, all I want to say is that, I mean, how many commercials do you see for shitty cars? And how many commercials do you see for Aston Martins? You know what I mean? Like the Aston Martins and Lamborghinis just sell themselves. You know what I mean? Like, they're fucking great. People will go buy them. If you're making some shitty new Ford, you're going to have to be like, hey, buy this car. It's the coolest thing ever. You'll totally get laid if you have our car.
Yeah, but you got to also understand, Lamborghini and Aston Martin make money, but nowhere near as Ford money, because Ford may sell hundreds of thousands of cars a day, whereas Lamborghini might sell 10. But they're making money. But yeah, they might not have the budget. But I mean, I get what you're saying.
I get what you're saying too.
But I think since DC and Warner Brothers have had such a shitty time recently, as far as their movies go, I feel like they, I don't know, it's very strange. And what do you think about the whole feminist angle? Like, a bunch of feminists online think that the studios are doing this because it's a woman empowerment thing.
I don't think, I would be amazed if that has anything to do with it. I mean, the studios give a shit about one thing and one thing only, and that is money.
Yeah.
I don't think they've got an agenda they're trying to push by squashing the fucking Lady Power movie.
Okay. Jeremy?
I agree, because the other flip side of that is, you know, Marvel with the movies, I feel like, kind of tends to beat DC at just about everything. Well, the only thing DC has really beaten Marvel to the punch on is having the first solo female-led superhero movie.
It is. As far as Marvel and DC are concerned, since, you know, the early 2000s when Iron Man came out, there has not been a female solo superhero movie. This is the first one, Wonder Woman.
Except for Elektra, if we're going to count that.
No, that was not part of since Iron Man.
I know, I'm just saying.
It's a Fox movie.
So, yeah, and plus Elektra was terrible.
It was. It really was.
So, do we all want this movie to be good? Yes. Does the trailer look good? Yes, but we've been let down before.
I think we all just don't trust. None of us trust DC movies anymore. These DC movies are just totally, totally untrustworthy.
So what do you guys want to see after Guardians of the Galaxy this weekend? Do you want to see DC and Warner Brothers, like, just fucking go balls to the wall and release a new trailer every day till it comes out? Or do you want it to kind of like, we'll release the final trailer and that's all you get until the movie?
Frankly, I don't really give a shit as long as the movie's good. I really don't care if there's 100 trailers between now and then or none. I just want them to put out a good movie that is well done and has the right feel.
Jeremy?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even the trailers they've done, there's, you know, kind of too much information in them for me anyway. So I just want the movie.
So if Wonder Woman is like Suicide Squad or Batman vs. Superman, are you going to completely give up on DC and Warner Brothers?
Oh, I've already done that.
But you're going to go see Wonder Woman, you know, though, right?
I'm not. I didn't say that.
Really? You're not going to go see Wonder Woman, really?
I will tell you right now, the only way I will go see Wonder Woman is if it gets a really good review and I hear that it is good from both of you.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm going to keep on rolling with my ban of all DC movies. I'm not doing it. They're not getting any more of my money. You know what? Suicide Squad is fucking free on HBO right now, and I'm still not watching it.
Jeremy, it's free. Are you going to be the optimist to this pessimist over here?
Oh, I'm going to go see it. I'm already planning on it.
Okay. All right. I want to be excited for the movie. I'm excited that we get Wonder Woman finally. That looks like a pretty big budget movie, and it's going to tie into the universe. I just don't know what to think. I hope it's good. DC and Warner Brothers had Joss Whedon in their hands to make a Wonder Woman movie, and they didn't hire him, and he went to Marvel.
Well, now he's making a Batgirl movie.
That's true. He is making a Batgirl movie because I guess Marvel and John Favreau kind of, you know, don't like each other. Yeah, here and there. It's just too much. So yes. I'm excited for it. I don't know why. I really think that it has to do with Guardians of the Galaxy this time. I really do. I think after this, there's really no movie that comes out until, well, Aliens come out, but Aliens not going to be as big as Wonder Woman. So Wonder Woman, I think, is the next big tentpole blockbuster. That's PG-13 for everybody. So I think
I don't know, man. I hear a lot more excitement about Alien, though.
I think a lot of people want to see Alien. It's going to be rated R. It's going to limit your audience. But for a superhero movie, Wonder Woman, the first female superhero movie, I think after this week, we're going to start to get ton more publicity on it. And if not, I don't know, maybe it'll work in DC's favor. They're like, it's a mystery, you have to come see it.
They might.
I don't know. So
I'll be interested to see at what point reviews start popping up on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff.
Well, usually Warner Brothers with that, it's usually a week before, unless they're doing a premiere at a festival, or if they're doing a crazy PA tour out in Los Angeles, they'll see it way before that. But usually it's the week of, like, I'll see it on a Monday or Tuesday and it'll come out Friday. So around the week of, I would imagine, unless Warner Brothers has an embargo, if there's an embargo until the day it comes out, that's not going to be good.
That would be a very bad sign. Correct. I wouldn't be surprised.
Or if they screen it literally the night before it comes out, that's a bad sign too, usually.
Yep.
But they have not done that with superhero movies yet, so
I can only think of two movies that I watched last year that were so bad that within 5 minutes of starting them, I was like, oh, my God, I already regret watching this movie. And it was Batman v Superman. And I think I watched The Woman in Black 2 mistakenly. and God, they were just so bad. Both movies, just unwatchable.
Batman vs. Superman, I want to say that I liked the first part of that movie, like the first few minutes. It just they did not do a good job. It's terrible. Jeremy, anything to say, anything to add on our last bit about this?
No, I'm good. Gonna wait and see the movie.
All right. Well, Wonder Woman, we're rooting for you. Let's move on. I know we've talked about this topic before on the show, but finally, Mr. Jeremy Magert has finally seen the movie Split. And
finally.
So now I want to hear Jeremy's take on Split.
If you guys had just told me how good it was, I would have seen it right away.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh, God. Terrible.
I texted this guy the moment I walked out of the theater because Jeremy and I have voiced multiple times and watched Unbreakable together multiple times. We have a mutual love for that movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I got to tell Jeremy about this, but I didn't want to ruin the surprise. So I just was like, just go see that shit as soon as possible. And that apparently meant 3 months later.
Welcome to the club, finally. What do you think, Jeremy?
I loved it. It was super good. Even aside from, the ending and the tie-in, it was such an awesome movie.
You texted me after you watched it, and you said that you think that James McAvoy should win Oscars or awards for acting in that movie.
I said all the awards.
All the awards, yes.
Yeah.
And so do you actually think there's a chance that he would do it? He would get any award nomination?
Probably not.
I would like to say maybe an Indie Spirit Award, maybe Golden Globe, if that's pushing it, though. And it's sad because he was damn good in that role, playing the multiple
parts. Damn good.
And I completely bought every single personality as being a different person.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I did, too.
So in my review, I said that M. Night Shyamalan, he's come back from, this string of movies that I think that the studio really had more control over than he did, which because they were terrible. But with The Visit in this, I think Shyamalan has found like a niche for himself where he directs amazing, well-thought B-movies. Like, because I think Split and The Visit are B-movies. Like, they're fun.
I wouldn't consider them to be B-movies. I would say low-budget A-movies. I mean, especially with, you got James McAvoy in your movie. That's A-list talent.
Well, yeah,
I agree.
You could have A-list talent in B movies for sure, but I think like as a whole, like I think it's like a B movie. Like kind of like Evil Dead is a B movie, but it's so amazing.
But don't B movies usually not come out in theaters?
Not necessarily. I would say like the recent Evil Dead movie is a B movie. There's a lot of B movies that come out in theaters that are ridiculous.
I wouldn't consider the recent Evil Dead movie to be a B movie.
Really?
Yeah, I would consider that an A-lister. I mean, it can't, to me, B movies are straight to video. That's what I can. That's what to me is a B movie.
I don't know.
I agree there.
And I think you're thinking that I'm not talking down about B movies. I love B movies, but I think that's
no. Like I'm just saying you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong.
I understand what you're saying. We just don't agree with you.
I think Split and The Visit are B movies, but I think they're really, really well done B movies. Like I think he's found, because The Visit and Split are not like Signs or Sixth Sense or Unbreakable in a way. But I think there's more campiness to I think Split and to the Visit. So
I think there was a bit of campiness in The Visit, but to me, Split, I didn't really get a whole lot of campiness from that movie. To me, that was very serious, and there was so much dread and just presence throughout that entire movie. I loved it.
Lots of tension.
So much tension. Yeah, I didn't really get even the parts when he was being the little boy personality and stuff. It didn't really strike me as being funny at any point. It was just tense and so much stress throughout the whole thing.
I was stressed. I was suspense, and I felt it all. I just think there being
he was suspensed.
He was suspensed.
Was tensed and suspensed and everything. No, I do believe that. I do think that that they are in essence at their core B movies when you look at it. But I think that M. Night has, like, literally, I've said it before, a Spielbergian, Scorsese, Terry Gilliam, you know, way about him, that he's one of the best directors alive, that he can take this genre and, like, literally make it, you know, $100 million box office, critically acclaimed movies. Because when you look at it, The Visit and Split, I mean, it's like, it's a crazy over-the-top idea, but he made it that. I mean, it's awesome. So, I don't know. I like I said, I love those movies. I do. So,
yeah.
I'm with you guys. I'm just saying they're good movies. But
now, Brian, did you like Signs?
I did like Signs a lot.
Okay, yeah, because that to me, that's like the point where people kind of either – that's when people started questioning it. Everybody loves Unbreakable and, you know, Sixth Sense. But right around Signs was when people started going like, I don't know. But yeah. I love Signs. I thought Signs was great. And then it was at the Village. And then really people started going, yeah, I don't know about that. And then Lady in the Water is when it all just went
– That's because I really think that the studio took over and they were like, here's hundreds of millions of dollars, and we're going to tell you what to do. And he didn't have a say, and that was that. But then he did The Visit, $5 million, Blumhouse, done.
Yep, awesome, that was the win. Stuff. That was the trick right there.
And then Split, and then, you know, so they showed Split at Fantastic Fest, which I went to last year in Austin, Texas, an awesome film festival, and it was the secret screening. Every year at Fantastic Fest, they do a secret screening where literally nobody knows what it is. Can sign up for it, you get in, and you do not know what it is until literally it starts. And so Split was the one this past September, and who was James McAvoy and M. Night Shyamalan were there to talk about it, do Q&A and everything. And I mean, see, if you never heard of Fantastic Fest, it is a film festival for people who are passionate about cinema. And to watch that and watch Split, especially the ending with a whole bunch of people who love Unbreakable, I mean, you could just imagine, like, the orgasm everybody had and, like, this is what we've been waiting for 15 years for.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's happening.
You know, I love that this kind of recent trend about movies secretly being something that you don't realize that they are. Like, I loved what they did with the newest Blair Witch movie. How, you know, leading up to it, all the trailers and everything were what they were calling it The Woods or something. Right. And then at the last minute, they were like, oh, guess what? It's a Blair Witch movie.
Blair Witch.
Now, granted, I saw it and it wasn't really that good, but I still thought it was really cool that they kept it in secret or kept that secret for so long. And then the fact that this turned out to be living in the Unbreakable universe was just completely one of the best twists I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a good, and I agree with Jeremy. Like, even if they didn't have that tag at the end with Bruce Willis, it was still a damn good movie from start to
finish. Oh, absolutely, it was good, completely standalone. But then when you put that out, it was just a nice little cherry on top of that little sundae.
So, Jeremy, where in the universe does Split fall into the M. Night Shyamalan movie verse for you? One of your favorites? One in the middle?
It probably would be one of the favorites.
Okay. All right. And I guess, and we're getting a third one. We're getting the third one with everybody involved. So very excited. Very exciting. So, okay. So Split, I'm glad you like Split. It's on Blu-ray and DVD now and digital HD. Do that. If you watch it, let Mediocrity know what you thought. Let's move on to a little movie coming out called Rampage with The Rock. The Rock talked about it recently on his social media, as he likes to do all sorts of things.
I've got it pulled up here if you want me to read you what he wrote about it.
Yes, well, tell everybody about the movie first and then read what the new news is about it.
Well, okay, so I'm actually just going to read his post because he kind of gives the synopsis of what the story is going to be. Okay. However, I will start by saying that Rampage was a video game. And I think it was, what, early 90s, mid-90s, something like that? Maybe even late 90s. I think it was like a Super Nintendo game or Nintendo 64 or something like that.
Well, originally it was an arcade game.
Correct.
When you would go to arcades and throw quarters into machines.
And right. You played like monsters destroying a city, right?
Exactly. You could choose one of three monsters, I think it was, and you basically just like would jump on top of a skyscraper, and the goal was to bring it down to the ground as fast as possible and put squish people and stuff.
Okay.
So it was a ton of fun. So The Rock recently, now we've heard that The Rock was doing this movie, and he recently went on his page, Instagram, and posted the following. He said, "Good to finally have boots on the ground here in Georgia for production of #Rampage. I head up an anti-poaching unit out of Rwanda. My best friend is a rare albino gorilla named George. Very bad people infect George, an alligator, and a wolf with a serum. All three animals grow at an unprecedented rate. Their size, speed, agility, and violent aggression is off the charts. They go on a deadly rampage and want to destroy the world. George not happy, me not happy. When animals like you, they lick you. When they don't like you, they kill you. I will hunt down the bad people who did this to my best friend, and when I find them, I will not lick them."
The Rock, I just don't think The Rock ever takes a vacation. The dude is making movies and shows and wrestling and working out and all sorts.
He is the hardest working man in Hollywood of this generation, no doubt.
It's crazy. But like, so Rampage is this, we've heard about this for maybe a year now, and it's The Rock, and this seems like a good movie for him because he basically is going to play the same character in most every other movie he makes.
Dude, yes. And the fact that, you know, like, his company did San Andreas, and they did a great job with that movie. I loved that movie. You know, it ain't There Will Be Blood, but it still was really fucking good.
I agree. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I gave San Andreas a good review. It's good. It's a B movie as well.
No, that's not a B movie, man. That is so not a B movie.
That's a B movie.
Any movie with The Rock is not a B movie. You shut your mouth.
B-movie disaster movie is what...
That was a triple-A action movie, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
So, Rampage. So, we have the story now. Is this going to be over-the-top, ridiculous, silly, fun, action, PG-13, rock-killing monsters?
Yes, I think that's exactly what it's going to be, and I will be first in line to see that movie. I'm so excited to watch it.
What was that old TV show about a man and his monkey? Was it Beretta? What was it? No? Damn it, that was a dog. What is that? What was that? Damn it, I can't remember. But there's an old TV show about a man and his monkey. And this sounds like that.
Except something goes horribly wrong.
Dwayne and his monkey going around killing giant lizards and shit. Jeremy, shed some light on this.
I think John pretty much covered everything. I mean, he read the plot. I don't know what light you're looking for.
I don't know. I mean, what do you think? Are you excited for something like this? Do you like...
Yeah, I'm always excited for a movie with The Rock.
Oh, I am too. I love The Rock. I'm the first person to love The Rock.
I was a little surprised that he wasn't... because in the video game, the creatures that are destroying the cities are actually humans that turn into them. So I assumed that The Rock was actually playing one of the monsters.
That would be amazing.
I was a little surprised that he wasn't actually, he wasn't mo-capping the mutated gorilla monster.
Well,
he wasn't turning into that. That's what I was expecting.
Well, he might by the end of the movie. Who knows?
Who knows? Anything could happen.
Yeah, this might be a tentpole movie. We might have sequels to this depending on how well it does.
I hope it's great. And you know what? I really believe it'll be great. I'm not really worried about it. I mean, name one movie The Rock has been in recently that wasn't a ton of fun.
Oh, man. I mean, I see almost every movie he's in. I don't think Baywatch is going to be any good.
I disagree. I think Baywatch will probably be a great summer comedy.
Ugh, it's going to be terrible.
He did one movie where he played... a truck driver or a guy who owns a trucking company whose son got in trouble.
It's called Snitch, and that was one of my favorites of his. because he wasn't the Rock in it.
He was getting his ass kicked.
You've seen it, right?
I have.
So, I don't know. Do I really want to watch a movie with the Rock where he doesn't punch someone in the entire movie?
Where he gets beaten up instead?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that movie.
Yes, that was awesome. That was so good.
That's like a movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger where he gets beaten up. I don't want to watch that movie. That's like watching a movie where it's like they just kill dogs in the entire movie. That's all they do. I don't want to watch that.
He doesn't want to watch Predator.
That's different. That is different. No. Arnold Schwarzenegger gets his ass kicked in every movie, except it's reciprocal ass kicking, and I'm fine with that. I don't know.
Predator, that was a pretty one-sided ass beating.
It took a nuclear explosion to get rid of
him. I don't remember that going very well for him at all.
Very true.
He lived.
I love Snitch. I love that movie. It's because, I mean, it's weird to see The Rock in a role where he's like not fighting monsters and shit like that and saving the day, which I love. I like him the other way too, but this is, we're basically going to see his character from San Andreas take on monsters.
I mean, if you want to see him play not The Rock, then watch Ballers.
I guess, yeah, he doesn't get into fights on that show, but I guess you're right. You're right on that. And because we have Rampage.
Or Moana.
Or Moana, yes. Yes. But in addition to this, we also have San Andreas 2 in the pipeline. The revamp of Big Trouble in Little China. The Jumanji revamp with him. And there's another
one. The Jungle Cruise movie.
And Baywatch.
And The Great Outdoors. They just announced it. Jesus. Oh, no, that's with Kevin Hart, though, right?
Yes, I'm glad you get those two mixed up.
I do. No, because their article I read and I tagged you guys in was actually them talking about Kevin Hart's going to be starring in The Great Outdoors. And they were like, well, I don't know who the other member of the duo would be, but it'd be great if it was Dwayne Johnson. I was like, there we go.
Yeah.
There's our next Kevin and Dwayne movie.
He's also got the Black Adam stuff for the upcoming Shazam and Justice League.
Yep.
And Doc Samson as well, too, which I think he's making with Shane Black.
Yes.
We should really just change this podcast to be The Rock Podcast, because I think we talk about The Rock in every single episode.
It's insane.
I'm completely okay with it. It doesn't bother me at all.
And the guy still finds time to be like on like Saturday Night Live and work out 10 hours a day.
Work out
and
freaking 2 hours every morning starting at like, what, I think at 4:30 a.m., yeah, something crazy like that, and eat 5,000 calories a day. That's amazing.
That's crazy. It's insane. But yeah, Rampage. So The Rock fight monsters. I'm going to go see it. It's going to be fun. What are we getting different here other than basically the same storyline we've seen before, but with monsters?
I guess we'll see.
At least with Baywatch, we kind of, we'll have him on the sand, maybe saving some. Well, it'll be like,
I think Baywatch is going to be hilarious. I don't think it's meant to be a serious action movie in any possible way.
Yeah,
it's just going to be a comedy, and I believe it'll be funny. I love Dwayne Johnson when he's delivering comedy. He's super funny.
I agree.
Zac Efron's funny too.
Yep.
We'll see. We will see for that for sure.
Both those Neighbors movies were funny.
Did you guys watch Baywatch when it was on TV? Like, were you guys into that stuff?
Yeah, I would definitely watch Baywatch and 90210 and all of that stuff.
Jeremy, were you ever a Baywatcher?
I was not.
Okay.
I was.
I was as well. Yeah. I remember loving the Baywatch when I was a 10-year-old boy and having new and exciting feelings.
My goodness, that was a lot of information that I really enjoyed hearing. what's it called? All right, so Rampage. Good for Rampage. We'll fill you in as much as we can when the time comes, when information is given to us. But let's move on to our video game segment. Multiplayer video games. What's the difference between, what is a multiplayer game? What makes that fun rather than just, you know, like Super Mario?
What is a multiplayer game? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
So it's a game where multiple people can play it.
Okay, so
simultaneously.
All right, all right. So basically, you can get online, you can have your headset on, you can talk to friends or anybody, and you fight each other, or you fight together, or something, right?
It depends what year we're talking about. You know, I think the biggest chunk of time that meant sitting next to each other, screaming at each other, and playing on the same screen, or maybe getting fancy and hooking up multiple TVs with a network cable.
Okay.
Oh, that was greatness.
Yes, it was. And then as of, what was it, probably 10 years ago, something like that now, it meant being online and being able to connect with your buddies no matter where you are in the country and play games versus them and kill them from long distances.
All right, all right. So what makes a good or the best, not what game per se, but what are the ingredients to make a good multiplayer game?
Jeremy, do you want to take that, or do you want me to take that?
Oh, man, ingredients. I think it's probably going to have a pretty fun community dynamic. I think that was one of the things that made Halo 3 so great, you know. At the time, like, it was, you know, arguably one of the most popular games out there. But, man, it just, like, everything just ran really well and set a great dynamic for the game for multiple people to play.
So, like, speed, connectability, being able to hear people, getting in and out of menus, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And what about like customization?
Like, yeah, customization's cool.
Like that.
I think customization's good, but I don't think it's super important to have a great multiplayer game. I don't think that's a part of the criteria. To me, great multiplayer just means having a shitload of fun with each other. That, to me, that's what multiplayer comes down to, is having a lot of fun.
All right.
Because single player game, like, I'm way more willing to go deep into a single player game, you know, and that's where I really expect lots of customization and lots of story and stuff like that. But when it comes to multiplayer, I just want to be able to have fun. That's all I care about, really, with multiplayer.
Okay. All right. I'm curious about it because, I mean, you and I and the three of us have definitely had some excellent times multiplayer stuff. But what games stick out to you as being the best?
Jeremy, why don't you go take it first?
Man, I got to go with Halo 3. Still the most fun ever.
It is. It is. I don't know why they changed it. I don't know why they changed it, but it happens. All right, Halo 3, John.
Are you looking for my all-time favorite multiplayer games? One game?
Yeah, do it.
Oh, God. I'm going to say GoldenEye 007.
Oh, that was like the first of its kind, too. Oh, my gosh. I remember used to go to friends' house with, like, there were different, oh, man, there were just Nintendos everywhere and just people playing GoldenEye.
Yeah, dude. I mean, and having four people, like, to me, all the greatest games, all my greatest multiplayer memories are single screen. You know what I mean? Like four people crammed into one little TV and just having a great time. That's where.
Anymore though?
It rare. You know, every now and then they'll have a game come out where you can maybe be two people on one screen or something like that. But it's pretty uncommon that you see it nowadays.
Yeah, because don't you and your wife and Jeremy and his fiance, they both have separate consoles and separate TVs, and they play, and y'all played, right?
Yeah, dude, we got that idea from my friend Tony and his wife Charmin, and I walked into their house and they had two TVs set up with two Xboxes, and they would just sit there and play together. And I was just like, oh my God, that's the greatest idea ever. and then Jeremy did it, and then I did it.
and it works out because you're sitting next to somebody you love and you're doing the same thing. You're playing the same game.
I cannot imagine anything more romantic.
It's mandatory.
It's mandatory.
Mandatory. Relationship survival.
Yep. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm going to give it to 007. I have a gigantic list, but if I had to say number one, it's going to be GoldenEye.
All right.
What about you?
I'm going to have to go with the recent Overwatch.
Really? All-time favorite multiplayer game.
Oh, man. I mean, I guess that's just because it's so new. All-time favorite multiplayer game. Man, well, no, I'm going to have to go with Jeremy on this one. I'm going to have to go Halo 3. We just had so much fun playing that game and making maps and, like, you know, customizing, like, the aspects of the game to where you would move really fast and jump and only have lasers. And we used to, like, take screenshots and send them to each other. I mean, it was, like, a community involved in that. There was a lot of us that did that. It was really
fun. No doubt. That whole thing was such a unique little bubble. I've never had quite that much of a continuing relationship with a video game. Because it was like our entire circle of friends. We just all obsessively played it, and we all would play together at the same time, and it was so much fun.
It was. When we weren't, like, playing, like, regular maps, we literally created maybe, like, 10 awesome maps we played constantly.
Yeah.
And we always had, you know, we always had the person that would be a sniper and, like, camp and snipe. And we had somebody, like, just, like, go wild and or something, or just somebody who was just too damn good, or just somebody who was too damn bad. I don't know. I see you raising your hand. You're not the good one.
No, I meant somebody going wild.
Oh, somebody going wild.
I didn't say I'm going good. I just said I got out there and shot shit.
Oh, so good. So what?
Tankmeister is definitely the aggro. That's for sure.
Fantastic. I'm just impatient. I get so impatient with video games, man. I got to get out there. That's when it's fun.
I'm larger in charge, and I don't care if I'm going to the center. I'm starting it. You're like Leroy Jenkins. Are we ready? We're ready. Leroy Jenkins. Oh, God, what do they do?
Yep, I am Leroy Jenkins.
All right, what are some
other... Jeremy, are you hip to that meme or that video?
I'm not.
Hey, Brian, will you handle sending that to him?
Yes, I will handle send. So I'll, for those of you who don't know who Leroy Jenkins is, I know that might be maybe an obscure reference, but Leroy Jenkins, I think everybody should know it, but I'll give you a preface, Jeremy, as to what Leroy Jenkins is. A decade ago, World of Warcraft. This is a World of Warcraft game. And in World of Warcraft, you usually have guilds or, like, online multiplayer type of thing where people get together and raid things. So there was a part in this World of Warcraft game where this guild had very many failed attempts at beating this level. And so they were really into beating it this time. And they, like, actually did equations and calculations on how to beat it.
So, and spent hours preparing.
And I guess one of the people in the guild went to the bathroom while everything was happening. And then he came back, and as soon as he came back, he did not care. He just said, we're ready, we're going to do this. And his character name is Leroy Jenkins, so he just yelled into the mic in front of everybody, Leroy Jenkins, without hearing the plan, the battle plan. Well, everybody got really pissed, like, oh, God, what is he doing? And he ended up getting everybody killed within, like...
Because he yelled out his name and then ran head first into the bad guys, basically completely on his own.
And I know that sounds not like a funny story, but when you hear it and watch it actually on screen happen, the dude became, like, famous.
Well, we'll share it from our Twitter page.
Yes, we will. Leroy Jenkins, it's amazing, but... That's how John is. He is Leroy Jenkins in that moment.
Even if I hear the plan, I can't stop myself.
It's so good. So what other multiplayer games do you all like?
Oh, man. Okay, so are we going to count non-console games?
Sure, whatever you want.
All right, I got to give a shout-out then to Half-Life and all the Half-Life mods. So Half-Life was a single-player first-person shooter that came out on PC many moons ago. And there were a lot of different mods that were released for it that changed the experience. So they could make it so instead of just playing those skins and those maps and stuff like that, They made a game called Team Fortress out of it. They made a game called Counter-Strike out of it. They made a World War II multiplayer game called Day of Defeat, and even one that was really fun called Vampire Slayer, where it was vampires versus vampire slayers, and each had their own, you know, like you could use a holy crossbow, or you could be the vampire sucking people's blood and stuff like that. So it's just a really fun, you know, Team A versus Team B type scenario game. I loved that stuff. I also had always had a fantastic time with like Mario Kart 64. That was a hugely fun game. Oh, man. I have to say
Mario Kart is probably one of those games that I love, but like that I physically got angry at tons of times.
Yeah, especially come Rainbow Bridge time, man. That game was infuriating. So that one, any of the Mario Party games, especially, you know, the ones on 64, Super Smash Brothers, all the Halo games, of course. And then one other one that is mostly forgotten nowadays, a little number called Crimson Skies for Xbox.
Never played it.
That was a good one.
That was a World War One or World War II era. I think it was World War One era dogfighting game, like airplane dogfighting game.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly fun. Different ships and stuff like that, and you could just have a pretty good level of control over them. But it wasn't like flight simulator level of difficulty. It was much more dumbed down than that. But it was just, you know, dogfighting, and it was a huge amount of fun.
It was a LucasArts game, right?
It was indeed.
Yeah.
All right.
So that one was a lot of fun. And then I also got to say Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
I didn't know that was multiplayer.
It was, and it was fun.
Awesome. All right. Jeremy?
Let's see some other ones that I enjoyed. I'll probably give it to the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games.
Okay.
That's some of my all-time favorite multiplayer stuff there. Left 4 Dead, also very fun.
I'm in agreeance with Left 4 Dead 1 and 2. Oh, my God. I love playing those on multiplayer. Oh, so much fun. Being the zombie and the survivor.
Yeah, just such a great, fun dynamic, you know, being able to go on the zombie side of that and torment your friends.
Yes.
Kind of hard to go. Oh, yeah. Those are probably really some of my favorites. I mean, there's like a couple Battlefield games that I played here and there, and but for the most part, those don't really make my list the same way that Halo and Ultimate Alliance and Left 4 Dead do. Destiny's actually got a pretty fun multiplayer.
All right. Cool. I would have to say I really enjoyed playing online with y'all Call of Duty Modern Warfare a long time ago with y'all. That was really fun, even though I was terrible at it. But I had a good time.
Kind of you won every game.
That's true. Unreal Tournament I really loved, and Portal 2 I really liked multiplayer on. I'm going to have to say recently Rocket League. I love Rocket League. It's quick. The games are a few minutes long, and it's fast. I like that type of thing.
I agree. I think Rocket League is one of the best multiplayer games out right now.
It is. It's a lot of fun. And also, I have to give a shout-out to Grand Theft Auto 5. That multiplayer is quite fun. I never got into World of Warcraft or anything like that, so I can't say, really. And I never did Borderlands, any of the multiplayer on that either.
Multiplayer in Borderlands was pretty good.
It was?
Yeah.
It was. It was a lot of fun.
It was pretty much all campaign multiplayer, but super good time.
Yeah. And, of course, we mentioned Halo and and GoldenEye, of course. I can't believe y'all did not mention Battlefront.
Those games are great, but I don't know if I would quite rank them as being best of all time.
All right.
I would rather rank Jedi Knight, Jedi Academy.
Okay.
As being a great multiplayer game, because that had some really fun multiplayer stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, we got to talk about some of the arcade games, like the X-Men arcade game or the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game or the Simpsons game.
Yeah.
Oh, the
and
Simpsons
game. Area 51. You know, Area 51 is incredible. That game is so much fun.
Oh, my gosh, the Simpsons game. I used to play that all the time. And the Turtles one, too. Jesus.
Oh, yeah. They're all pretty much the same game with different skins. But, man, those games were fun.
They are. They really are. Ugh, those were so good. I love it. All right. We're coming to an end. So I'm going to turn it over to you guys right now, and I am very excited to see what this this Mediocrity on Multimedia Men podcast on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. I'm looking forward to this secret segment that I know nothing about. Do I get to guess what this is?
Go for it.
I'm going nakedness, but I don't know. Something naked. I don't know.
You are sadly mistaken.
Oh, damn it. All right. What is it?
So what Jeremy and I decided we needed to do is, having spoken to you many times about this topic on the show. Yes.
Oh, God.
And just constantly being disappointed in you as a human.
Oh, my God. Wait. So now that you say this, are you going to give me a Star Wars trivia?
Yes.
That's exactly what's happening.
We have decided that the Star Wars things that flow from your head sphincter are so brutal that we actually need to find out where rock bottom is.
Oh, we need to discover how much you truly know. And I think we also need to have a rule of hands up when we're asking you these questions, so we know you're not typing shit.
Okay. All right.
There will be no Googling.
All right. Hold on. All right, you can see my hands.
All right, we can see your hands. And Jeremy and I have each put together a list of a few questions. And I think we will take turns asking you questions, if that sounds good to you, Jeremy. Right.
That works for me.
All right, so before you do this, I for those of you who listen to the show, I also have a radio show called The Entertainment Answer. And we haven't had him on in a while, but we usually had our tech guy named Dave Curley, who is a huge, huge Star Wars person. And I might have asked y'all for questions, but we did a trivia thing for him of Star Wars. But this is a guy who knew everything, and we try to give him crazy questions, and he got all of them right. So I feel like I'm going to do terribly here.
Well, I watched that, and you actually did not use our questions.
What?
And those were not hard Star Wars questions, my friend.
We didn't use it. I thought I did. I thought that I used like the pants one from Han Solo.
Yeah. Well, so what we decided was we actually wanted to pitch you some questions. We didn't want to hit you with like extended Star Wars knowledge.
Okay.
We didn't want to. Basic stuff that is covered in the original trilogy. Like it is covered. If you have watched the original trilogy more than once, you could probably tell us the answers to these questions.
Okay.
So, Jeremy, why don't you start us off?
all right. We're going to start off with a little question from A New Hope.
Oh, God.
Luke lived on a farm on Tatooine. What was his family farming?
Oh, man. It's not blue milk. I just watched this too. Crops of some sort. They mentioned crops of some sort, and I'm trying to remember what. I don't remember what. Vegetables?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You are incorrect, sir. It was a moisture farm, as they live on a desert planet.
Ah, well.
And that's where all the water comes from.
Okay. I knew that.
You sure did. Or, you know, vegetables, one of the two.
Yeah.
All right, now my turn. Now, once going back to this same film and the same kind of timeline in the film here, what are the names of Luke's aunt and uncle?
Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Nicely done. Okay, you get 1 point.
Do you know their last name?
Aunt Beru. Well, it's not Skywalker. Because I was trying to figure out how they were related to everybody, or if they were. I don't remember.
You should watch the prequels if you would like the answer to that.
No, I do not know their names.
All right, so you get a half point for that one.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Lars. That would be the last name.
Okay, Lars. Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
Jeremy?
All right, next question. We're going to go to The Empire Strikes Back with this one. They were on the planet Hoth. What type of creature attacked Luke Skywalker while they were on Hoth?
The chick magnet net handle Wampa 1. Wampa, right?
That's correct.
All right.
Bravo.
I would like to point that his Star Wars knowledge just came from a Kevin Smith movie.
That's very true.
Not from watching Star Wars. Oh. That point gets an asterisk next to it.
Yeah. All right, so we're at 1.5 points so far.
Wait, I said Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, right? That's one, and then two.
You know the last name.
Oh, okay.
All right. What planet is Cloud City on?
Oh, my goodness. Cloud City. I'm trying to go back. I literally have no idea. Don't know.
That would be the planet Bespin.
Bespin. All right. Had no idea. Nope. Didn't know. I'm sorry.
Scratch that one. Jeremy, you're up.
All right. I will, I'll jump down my list, and I will also do a tie-in, another Empire, with John's question. So, Lando's Cloud City facility, it's a mining. What does it mine?
I'm going to be wrong here. Does it mine the crystals for the lightsabers?
No.
No, it does not.
Okay.
And it doesn't mine vegetables either.
Yeah.
What does it mine?
It's a big food processor.
Oh, damn it. What does he mine? I don't know. I have no idea.
It mines Tabana gas.
Ah, okay. I'm out. I'm doing poorly, guys. I'm doing poorly.
All right. Here's a fun one. I want you to name two Imperial officers from the original trilogy.
Grand Moff Tarkin?
No, not the Grand Moff officers.
Oh, goodness. From the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Officer, lieutenant. Oh, my goodness. I'm trying to go.
Generals, captains, admirals, anything.
General. Oh, my goodness. I literally just watched these three movies, and I'm trying to remember, like, the people Darth Vader had to kill every time somebody fucked up. And I can't remember any of
this. I feel like I need the Jeopardy music here.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm not going to be able to name them. Oh,
can you name one?
I cannot. I Grand Moff Tarkin.
Can you name one stormtrooper?
They have names?
They have numbers and letters, not really names.
I mean, I'm trying to even remember.
I would be willing to give you a point if you can come up with this one.
I'm trying to remember Finn's from Force Awakens. Is it like...
Original trilogy.
Original trilogy. No. Oh, maybe 1138? Is that one of them? No?
No.
I don't know.
Should we name a few for him, John?
Please, yeah, why don't you name your stormtrooper, and I'll name some of the officers.
TK-421, okay. Why aren't you at your post?
Okay, TK-421.
That's
all
a
right.
Stormtrooper.
Yep.
And then we've got Captain Nita. We have General Veers.
Oh, my gosh.
We have Admiral / Captain. Yeah, it's Admiral / Captain Piet and Admiral Ozzel.
I would have been able to do Admiral Ackbar, but you said Imperial.
I'm not talking rebels. These are all Imperial officers.
I wouldn't have guessed. Damn it.
All right, Jeremy, your turn.
Okay. So in Return of the Jedi, the rebels attack the planet Endor, right? Because they have to blow up the facility that's generating the shield around the Death Star. There's an Ewok attack, and Chewie and a couple Ewoks commandeer an Imperial vehicle. What is the name of that vehicle?
Is it an AT-AT?
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
You are incorrect.
You are incorrect. You are close, but you're not correct. It is an AT-ST.
Oh, the small one. Damn it.
The all-terrain scout transport.
I was close. That's a half a point right there.
Nope, that is a 0 point. co-pilot in his snow speeder on the planet Hoth?
It wasn't Antilles.
Nay.
I have no idea.
That would be Dak.
Dak. All right. I wouldn't have gotten that.
Jeremy.
All right. Return of the Jedi. Luke Skywalker goes to Jabba's palace to convince Jabba to release Han Solo. When he does this, Jabba, after the great Star Wars musical number, drops Luke into a pit with a giant monster. What is that monster?
A Rancor.
You are correct.
Yay!
Well done.
2.5 points. Yay! I knew that.
Jeremy, do you have any more questions, or is this one going to be the last one?
I think this is the last one.
All right, so for all the potatoes here.
For all the potatoes, oh my God.
What was the name of the creature Jabba tried to feed Han, Chewie, and Luke to in Return of the Jedi?
I mean, it's the Sarlacc pit. Is it a Sarlacc where it's, he would be digested over 1,000 years?
You win. That was good. Okay, yeah. Get a point for that one. Now, it has an alternate name. For a bonus point, can you tell me the alternative name to the Sarlacc pit?
Oh, man. I cannot. I'm sorry.
Jeremy, would you like to steal his point?
I don't know what it is.
Ah, the Pit of Carcoon.
The Pit of Carcoon.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I had no idea. Oh, that was fun, guys. Let's do this again.
Well, your next one's going to be on the prequels.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I'll
see
what I can
do. So you should probably brush up on that unless you want to be embarrassed again.
Oh, 2.5 points. I got some right.
Actually, you got 3.5 points.
3.5 points.
Good.
Yeah, not bad. 35% of those questions correct.
I thought you were going to ask me like easier questions, like where is Chewbacca from and shit like that.
They don't talk about that in the movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
We only wanted to ask you stuff they actually said in the movies.
Okay. Well. Damn it. I like this. This was good. I'm very excited. Like, we got to do this again. That was fun. I bet you our listeners. I'm sorry, listeners. I do like Star Wars. That's just a terrible with this trivia. But thanks for joining us. Thanks for doing that. That was really fun. We're going to have to do this again. Seriously.
I agree.
All right. So
secret segments would be a nice continuing touch.
That would be good.
The ambush section.
That was good. All right. Well, thanks for joining us. We are Mediocrity on the Multimedia Men on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Come find us. Come subscribe to us. We love you all. We are Jeremy Maygert, Jonathan Atterbury, and Brian Kluger. Thanks for listening. And next time, may the Force be with you.